Take your Bibles, please, if you would, and turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 in your Bibles. And we are, once a month at least, going to be touching on the theme for the year, exalting Christ, encouraging Christians, evangelizing the community. And back in January, we preached out of Philippians chapter 2. The first verses there in the chapter, which are very familiar verses to us. This study began kind of as a continuation of that, and then kind of led into a direction that I honestly wasn't expecting, because there's one thought that stands out in the next couple of verses in chapter two, verses 12 and 13. There's one thought that kind of stood out that I couldn't get away from, and so rather than just kind of continuing with the mindset that was that we preached on in January in Philippians chapter 2. Which was about the mind of Christ and some very familiar verses there that we focused on. I'm not going to re-preach those things. Verses 12 and 13 are actually in context with that. They're not separated, but the Lord has just led in a different direction tonight. And so we're only going to read two verses, but I do want to ask you also to go to John chapter 15, if you would, in your Bibles. John 15, because we'll be spending some time there here in a little bit. And John chapter 15. And if you found both of those places, we'll begin in Philippians chapter 2. If you'll stand with me in honor of God's word, we'll read these verses. I'll read verse 12 if you read verse 13 out loud with me. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed." Again, that word, "wherefore," it's hard for me not to keep it in context here, but I'm going to be disciplined and not do that. But just understand, it's a great study to realize why these verses are here because of the verses before. All right, we understand that, right? But let's look at verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Ready to begin. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So we're going to talk tonight about this. It's a question, and it's a question that I think all of us understand the answer to, but I really want us to think about it tonight. Do you need spiritual renewal? Do you need spiritual renewal? So let's pray and we'll get into it. Our God in heaven, Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And Lord, for this night, thank you for everyone who's here. Help us not to take this for granted or lightly. Lord, help us to understand that you have something in your word for us. And I can't meet the needs, Lord, and if I even tried, it would be in the flesh. Lord, if I even knew what they were, I couldn't come close to meeting them. We need to rely on you and the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, to work in our hearts and our lives. Help us all to be open, attentive, and teachable, and humble regarding your Word, and then to determine to apply what we need to apply to our lives with your help. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd be pleased with everything said and done in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. I love hearing stories about when somebody gets saved and is changed. You see a vast difference of that individual from what they once were to what they became. And some of you in here have testimony to that fact right there. All of us were changed the moment we were saved. Amen? I mean, I was headed for a devil's hell, and I got saved, and now I have a home in heaven. And I got saved from things, not out of things. I praise God for that as well. Now, there are some things that in my Christian life, the Lord, through his grace and mercy, pulled me out of. But I was saved when I was 6 years old. So there's a lot that I didn't participate in that I certainly could have. And so I didn't get saved out of some things. I got saved from some things. But some of you got saved out of some things. Or maybe in your Christian life, maybe you were saved like I was when you were young, and then you backslid and you walked in the flesh for some time, and the Lord rescued you out of those situations as a prodigal son or daughter, so to speak. And praise God for those things. Amen. But the moment you were saved, you changed. Your eternal destiny changed. The Bible talks about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. And in fact, why don't you turn to a couple places here before we really get into this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you would. And let's just look at one verse here and then go to Ephesians 4 as well. 2 Corinthians 5 and Ephesians 4. And these are familiar verses, but I want us to see some things that happened. Where the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, here's what the Bible says about you. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have that newness. And so the title of the message is a question, do you need spiritual renewal? And so an argument might be made, I've already had that renewal. I am saved, and you have. Praise God for that. You are a new creature. No doubt about it, you are not what you once were, and you'll never be that again. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. I'm saved, and I can't lose my salvation. I praise God for that. Yet at the same time, a Christian can certainly need renewal. In fact, go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and look at verse 23. We could go all the way to verse 32 here, but verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He's talking to Christians here. He's telling them to put off the former conversation, put off the old man. I have a new man, but I'm to put off the old and put on the new daily on a daily decision to do so, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God has created righteousness and true holiness. And he goes into some specifics on how to do that there. And then Romans 12 is a very familiar passage to many of you. I'm going to read verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing. Say that word one more time. Renewing of your mind, that you may prove was that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so, it is this thought is in context with the beginning part of Philippians chapter 2, where Paul talks about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what that ought to look like, for sure. But yeah, you were saved, no doubt about it. If you accepted Christ as your Savior, you were saved, and you have a new you are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But we find sometimes, don't we, in our Christian life, that there needs to be a change, right? There needs to be a renewal. You begin to walk in the flesh, and you begin to... We're not talking about getting saved again. We already established that once saved, always saved, but there needs to be a reawakening. There needs to be a refreshing. And I don't know who would need this message tonight, but I think all of us at times in our lives would have to be honest and say, you know, I'm not as excited as I once was about the things of God. I'm not on fire. I need a rekindling. I used to care more than I do now. And for whatever reason, whether it's because we've gotten into sin, some wicked sin in our lives, or whether it's just because we've become complacent and things have become same old, there's no more an excitement about reading our Bibles, about prayer, about telling us about Christ, about soul winning, about being involved in things of church, about fellowship with one another. And oftentimes, it's just because we are constantly being bombarded in this world by things that don't matter in light of eternity. They become weights and sins in our lives that we've got to put aside. And we are no longer excited about what we once were. Am I the only one, or has anybody ever been there before? Yeah, absolutely. And so that's why the question, do you need spiritual renewal? The Christian life is primarily about a relationship with God. What is your life primarily about? If you were to define your life right now, if you were to list what matters in my life, what takes precedence, what's most important, would your relationship with God be on the top of that list? There's a lot of things we could put on the list that are important. But is your relationship with God number one? A Christian only functions well when he's in fellowship with God. So are you in fellowship with God? And once we take action on that and we begin to learn more about God, our lives will begin to change and we'll experience this spiritual renewal that I'm talking about. In fact, Acts 17:28 says this, "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." In other words, Paul was saying that his whole life is in Christ. Everything about him is in Jesus Christ. And when we experience real fellowship with God, I'm not talking about surface fellowship. I remember a class I took in Bible college. It was called Personal Spiritual Development. I mean, you would think that Bible college classes are all about, you know, theology and learning the Word of God. And there's a lot of that. But there's one that's just very practical. And it's just called PSD, Personal Spiritual Development. And that was the most important class we could have ever taken at Bible college. It was very practical and very personal. And I don't know who y'all had to teach your class. I had Sam Davidson. In your face. Who'd you have? Jason Gaddis? Okay, well, that's second best. But anyways, I mean, it was just very convicting. But one of the things that we looked at was in the book of Jude, where Jude said, "And ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." It's my faith is not built on my wife's faith. My walk with God is just because she reads her Bible and prays every morning doesn't make me right with God. Just because she cares about the things of God doesn't, I can't ride on the coattails of my wife. You can't ride on the coattails of your spouse or your parents. You've got to, it's a personal spiritual development. It's got to be personal, is the idea. You've got to walk with God on your own, and it's got to be meaningful, not surface. And we can pray and mean nothing. We can serve and serve without passion. What Paul was saying here in that verse, in Acts 17:28, in him we live and move and have our being. He's saying, my life is in Christ. And if you're going to experience real fellowship with God, when you experience real fellowship with God, that begins to happen. So I want you to notice here in our text, verse that we started with in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, where I'm just going to read it one more time. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That's not talking about a works salvation. I don't really want to spend time on that right now. It's not saying, you know, our works save us, but prove it, show it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Show me you're saved. But verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to," look at that, what's that word? "Will and to do of his good pleasure." First thing I want to talk about in this, I want to answer our question with some questions. The question is, do you need spiritual renewal? So, in response to that, do you desire renewal? We already know we need it. Amen? We already know we need it. But do you desire it? Because it doesn't come naturally to us. It's not going to happen by accident. Because we often fight our flesh, and we often fight those things that are displeasing to God. And so... do we desire it? And where will this desire to know God come from? Where will this desire to have fellowship with God come from in our lives? Well, the Bible says here in Philippians chapter 2 that God creates a will to know him. He put it, the moment you were saved, he put within you a desire to know him. God places within each of his children that desire. And if I have a desire to know God, it is because of his work in me. If you know Jesus, then somewhere within you, God has placed a desire to know him and to be close to him. Romans 7:18 says this, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will," if Paul said, "In me there's nothing good." But then he mentioned something that is good. "To will is present with me. And in myself there's nothing good. But somehow there is something in me that the will to know God, the will to do what's right, the will to please God, the will to exalt Christ, somehow that's in me." So I'm going to read that again. "For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Can anybody say amen to that? How to do it? Ooh, it's a struggle. And it begins with this question: do you desire to know God? And we have to, in answering that question, we have to realize God did place within us the will to do what's right, the desire to do what's right. And in other words, you're probably, if you're a Christian tonight, you're probably saying tonight and at the times in your life, "I, like with Paul in Romans 7, I want to do right. I have the desire to do right." You have that desire because God placed that in you. You don't have that desire because of yourself. You're full of, there's no good thing in you, Paul said. But you have a desire in you. That's the grace of God that he did. He could have saved you and sent you to heaven. Or he could have saved you and left you here on this earth and not placed within you a desire to please him. We would not please God if God didn't place that desire in us. But he did. It's in you. And whether you're doing it or not, that's a different story. But it's in you to desire him. And Paul's saying that he has a will and desire to do right, but his flesh hinders him from performing that which is good. So spiritual renewal is God working in us from the inside out. It begins with God, but it continues as we are yielded to him. God does give us the will to know him. But you've got to follow that will with a personal response. Jeremiah 31:3, might want to jot this down. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." You know, when you were saved, God called you unto himself, gave you a desire to know him. He draws you, but he leaves you the choice of whether or not to respond. The same practice continues throughout our Christian life. See, God's drawing men to himself, and men and women, this world to himself. He's drawing them to himself, but he doesn't just pick and choose who's going to be saved or whatnot. He leaves that choice up to the individual whether or not they're going to respond. Right? And same thing as a Christian. God's continually working on your heart's door. He's saying, "Listen, I want to be close to you. I want to have a relation with you. I want to be the Lord of your life." But, and so he's drawing us. The Holy Spirit's convicting us. The Word of God speaks to us. That will is within us, but the choice is up to us whether or not we respond to that drawing. How many like to eat? Say amen. Amen. That's even better. I like that. Amen. You know what a good meal begins with? Hunger. It does. In fact, if you're hungry enough, you'll eat just about anything. I mean, I know. How many of you are picky in here? I mean, you're picky eaters. Be honest. Okay. How many of you would eat just about anything? Your garbage disposal. All right. That's me. I mean, I'm willing to try just about anything. And if it doesn't taste good, that's what Tabasco sauce is for. Amen. But, you know, a good meal begins with hunger. Everything tastes good when your stomach is empty. But then, even if it's something that is absolutely amazing and delicious, when you are stuffed full to the brim, even that doesn't taste that good anymore. Say, what's your point? My point is this: as Christians, we've got to empty our hearts empty our lives of any fleshly desires, and we must hunger to know God. Part of our problem as Christians might be this. It might be that you don't have a desire or hunger to know God because you're filling your life with so many things that don't matter in life, that aren't God's will for your life, and a lot of fleshly desires. But when we hunger to know God, He'll satisfy our need every single time. Spiritual renewal and effective worship begins with a hunger for God and a hunger for His Word. So you do desire Him. Are you hungry for Him? If you're not hungry, why? It's because you're filling your life with things that are not godly. You're filled up with things that don't satisfy you. And you just keep wanting more and more of it, and you're not satisfied. But when you have a hunger for God, He satisfies you. Go to Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. I don't have this in my notes. I was just thinking about it earlier, and I thought it would be great if the Lord would allow me to remember this when I'm preaching. Psalm 103. David begins with his blessings, bless the Lord, and he gives us the why. In verse 3, he says, we want to bless God or honor God because He forgiveth all thine iniquities. Amen. He healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Look at verse 5. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Nothing else in this world is going to satisfy you. Only God can satisfy. And if we're trying to find satisfaction through other means, we're going to find ourselves unsatisfied. And then we're going to find ourselves unhappy. We're going to find ourselves feeling guilty. We're going to find ourselves feeling convicted. Things are not going to be good because we're not looking to God to satisfy us. So God gives us a will back in Philippians chapter 2, but He doesn't just give us a will, but He leads us to know Him. Verse 13 says that He will do of His good pleasure. God gives us the desire to know Him. Praise God for that, because we wouldn't have that desire if He didn't just give it to us. And then He accomplishes His will through our lives. It's just overwhelming to think that God could do anything good through me. I think I mentioned this one time. There's a friend in Washington State who is taking sometimes, actually he stopped because our camera isn't working great, or that one's not working at all. This one's not wonderful. We have one that's on order, by the way, that I don't know how far out it is right now. It's been on back order. Brother Hunter can tell us, but don't interrupt my preaching, all right? But anyways, when's it coming? March 10th. Praise God. All right. So anyways, we'll have a good camera. So anyways, this friend in Washington State, Marvin McKenzie, he stopped taking clips and posting it because of that reason. But there's some short clips that he's been putting on there. And I don't know if it's because of the location, Pacific Northwest area that he lives in. It's somehow gotten a lot of views. But there's some people from my past who have seen it, who live in that area. It's just on YouTube. I don't know if YouTube targeted localities. I don't know that it does or not. It's just these people have reached out to me and who have asked me spiritual questions because of what they've seen on this YouTube video, these clips that he's been putting up there. And these clips, I mean, it's interesting how many views they've gotten. And it's interesting that God would use that to reach people that I otherwise probably wouldn't have reached or been able to help outside of that. And it's amazing to see the difference that has been made. It's drawn people in a way. And I noticed in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, that God not only gives us a will, He places it within us. We wouldn't do it outside of that. But He also, it says, He will do of His good pleasure. He gives us the desire to know Him, and then He accomplishes His will through our lives. Galatians 5:16, the Bible says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How many are tired of living for the flesh? Oh, yeah. I hate it. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You can't do them. You want to. You have the desire to. But you can't. So how do I do it? Well, he says it in Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm tired of the flesh winning. I'm tired of Satan getting a victory in my life. I'm tired of this struggle between the Spirit and the flesh. Paul gives us the answer. Walk in the Spirit. Get into the Word of God. Get into the things of God. Put aside these fleshly things in our lives and hold on to the things of God, because they're contrary. And that passage illustrates the new nature of the believer. God gives you the desire to know Him. He put that in you. But the question is, will you follow God? Will you follow Him? Or will you let your flesh control you? That was the question that was stated to me in one of the messages I got in response to those clips that Brother McKenzie put on. The question was this: I want to serve God. I'm tired of the flesh winning. How can I do that? And I've been conversing back and forth, but it just came down to the simple thought in Galatians 5:16. And he said, "That's awesome. I never thought of it that way before." Will you follow God? Will you yield to the Holy Spirit's working in your life? In fact, Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Many times you can recognize a Christian by his lifestyle. Go to Romans 8, if you would, please. Romans 8 in your Bibles, please. Sometimes you can tell that a Christian is following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, God did not save you so that you can go back to your sinful habits. He saved you so that you could follow God's will in your life. If you have never felt a desire to grow in godliness, if you've never felt a desire to want to please God, if you've never felt a desire to want to do what's right in God's eyes, if you've never cared, what does God think about what I say? What does God think about what I do? What does God think about how I dress? What does God think about my attitude? Does this please God? If you've never cared about those things, I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying it would be wise to see if you were ever saved in the first place, if that desire has never been there. Because the moment you get saved, God places within you a will to do of His good pleasure. It's there. And if it's never been there, I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying, I wonder. I don't like to make people doubt just for no reason, but there have been times in my life where that desire has waned. Big time, actually. There have been times in my life where it seemed obsolete, actually, as a Christian. But I can still go back and say, no, there have been times where I have desired God. There have been times where I have been on fire for God. I wasn't a perfect Christian. I didn't do anything right. But yes, I wanted to please God with my life. And through God's grace, there were actually times where I did please God. And I loved it because the Holy Spirit did it through me somehow. And so I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. But I am just saying this. If you are at the place in your life as a Christian where you're like, man, it's gone. It's waned. Look at Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Again, we beat the flesh by walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And Paul is saying here, if you're led by the Spirit of God, that's an indicator you're a child of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, verse 16. Confirmation from the Holy Spirit that we are the children of God. God's Spirit gives us the will to do right, to become like Christ. And God desires to bring us to this spiritual maturity, spiritual renewal. The flesh wants to bring us back to our old lifestyle. The flesh wants to bring us back to the old habits and the old friends and the old music and the old addictive things. And God says that He has a will for our lives, and His desire is for us to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants us to be like Christ. And like I said, many times you can recognize a Christian by their lifestyle. You can tell that they're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. God didn't save you to go back to those old sinful habits. He saved you so that you could follow the Spirit's leading in everyday lives. If you've never felt that desire, I'm just saying, those who are truly His children, those who are truly a child of God, will have a hunger and a desire to know Him more deeply. That's different than the action. I am not saying somebody who's not living for God is not saved. But somehow, deep within them, below the surface of all that, the roughness and all the sin and all the wickedness, somehow deep within all of that, the Holy Spirit's knocking on their heart's door and saying, you know you're not living right. You know you're not doing right. You know you need to get right with me. And there's a conviction, a misery, a desire to want to throw off the old man and put on the new again. It's there. It's there if they're saved. Jesus is saying that if we really desire to know Him, we can. In fact, Matthew 5, 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why are they blessed? He answers that question. For they shall be filled. They'll be satisfied. Yeah. You know, the other day when we had our fellowship night, and I talked about how I could smell the food, I hungered and thirsted after fellowship night after church. And you know what? I was satisfied. I was filled. Probably too much. And I took some of it home too. But some of you left and left your food behind. And I'm not complaining about that at all. I like food. But when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. If you don't hunger and thirst after the things of God, if you don't hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll never be satisfied. God doesn't create a desire that He does not intend to satisfy. Somebody said it this way, God puts a hole in the heart of man that only Jesus can fill. Any attempt to solve this God-given desire in another way is doomed to fail. Think about the Samaritan woman in John 4. A good example. I know this she wasn't saved, she got saved there, but the same thought applies. She'd been married several times, and then when Jesus was talking to her, she had been living in a sinful relationship outside of marriage, and Jesus approached her and began speaking about water that would fill her empty life forever. And He told her that she had been trying to find satisfaction in these other ways, in the way she'd been living. She had been trying to find satisfaction in those ways, but she had never really known God or the way of salvation. John 4:14, Jesus said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And that day, the Samaritan woman believed on Jesus and she experienced restoration. She got new life. And God has placed within every Christian not only new life there, but a desire to know God more, a desire to fellowship with Him more. And when we truly seek to know Him and we truly seek to serve Him, there will be fulfillment. You will be satisfied. There's nothing better. There's nothing that feels better than man, I mean, you have a heart's desire every day. You're in the Word of God and you love it. You're in prayer and you have meaningful communication with God. And while a lot of stuff's going on outside and around the world and in your life and hardship and tragedy and difficulties, you still have satisfaction because you have a meaningful relationship with God. When you truly seek after those things, there will always be fulfillment. And only when we follow after Him will we be able to become like Christ and experience His joy. Psalm 105 verse 4 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore." And someone who has that desire will seek Him. Deuteronomy 4:29. "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. If thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." You might say, "Well, I just feel like God is just so far away. There's just this chasm between us now, and he feels untouchable. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly," but you're not seeking Him. You're not. You're seeking other things. No. I'm reading my Bible and I'm praying, but Deuteronomy chapter 4:29 says, "If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul." That gives me two words: determination. Spiritual growth requires determination. He said, "Work out your own salvation." Jude tells us, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Some people think the Christian life is just something that you just, "Well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I can kind of live the way I want to because I'm saved. And grace, praise God for grace." Christian life is not effortless. It requires effort. It requires that we seek God diligently, and He promises to reward our seeking. Go to Matthew 6, if you would, please. Matthew 6. Verse 24, the Bible says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And for this reason, Paul is a great example. His overwhelming goal in life, and we already talked about it in Philippians, but just a chapter later, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he said, "That I may know Him," right? "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death." That was his overwhelming goal in life, was to know God. The title of the message is a question: do you need spiritual renewal? And in answering that question with a question, do you desire God? Do you desire God? Well, okay, so then the second part, and we've been talking about it now for the last 5 minutes, is this: do you seek God? Do you seek Him? I need spiritual renewal. Great. Do you desire that? It's built within you. God's placed it within you. But then the second part is this: do you seek Him? And that's why we read Psalm 105:4, "Seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face forevermore." And Deuteronomy 4:29, "If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, you'll find Him." And in Matthew 6:24, "You can't serve two masters. You'll hate the one and love the other, or hold to the one and despise the other." You can't serve God and mammon. So then it got to get a little more specific. You might say, "Yeah, I'm seeking God." Okay, are you seeking Him primarily, or are you seeking Him while you're trying to seek self-satisfaction at the same time? You can't have both. You can't have both. Paul said, "My greatest desire is to know Him. My greatest desire is to seek God." What's your greatest desire? So the other first word is determination. The second word is devotion. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." So we lack discipline in the Christian life because we have no affection for the things of God. And the reason we don't spend time in God's Word is not usually a busy schedule or a lack of organization. It is because we don't love the God of the Word. Because if I loved the God of the Word, I would want to spend time with the God that I love. You say, "I don't know about that." Okay, well, what'd you do when you found out you loved your spouse? All you wanted to do was spend time with your spouse. Other things took second place because you wanted to spend time with your spouse because you loved that woman or that man. And this couple's retreat, I mean, I hope my wife could give the same testimony. I've always loved my wife and my love has only grown. But this couple's retreat, I've been to countless couple's retreats. This one just really, I mean, it really just made me love my wife all that much more. And then we went to Florida. It was very busy in this conference. And I mean, we're inside most of the time, but I just loved spending time with her. And now that we're back, I mean, it's true. I kind of hate being out of the house. I just want to spend time with my wife. I'm a mushy guy. If you love God, I mean, everybody here would say, I love God. If you love God, say amen. If you love God, you'll want to spend time with Him. God says that He is still here if you'll seek Him. He'll give us what we need. Just seek Him as a person. Many years ago, a hymnist wrote, "Take time to be holy." The lyrics say this, "Take time to be holy, the world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like Him thou shalt be. Thy friends and thy conduct His likeness shall see." Some people's response might be this, "Well, who has the time?" We've got to take the time every day. Think about this. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every one of us would take time every day to be close to God? If every one of us would take time every day to be holy. If we would, every one of us, spend time in God's Word and call upon Him to help us. I think about the men on the Emmaus Road in Luke chapter 24, verse 32, where it says, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures?" Did you hear that? When Jesus was talking, they said, did not our heart burn within us? And they walked along the Emmaus Road. And I believe God wants to warm our hearts through daily fellowship with Him. And if we'll be renewed and sanctified to become more like Christ, we've got to follow that God-given desire. Again, it's a God-given desire to do so. And God wants us to spend time. Go to John 15, please, in your Bibles. John 15, we're going to read this together. God gave you the desire to know Him. Do you desire Him? Do you seek Him? And do you want to abide with Him? I guess is the last question. Do you want to stay there? Do you want to stay in close fellowship with Him? Because John 15 is all about Jesus saying, abide in Me and I in you. The carnal Christian spends 10 minutes with God maybe on a Saturday or a weekday and an hour with Him on Sunday and then goes back to his wicked ways Monday through Friday. He goes to church to get a small dose of God and lives like the world the rest of the week. We shouldn't compartmentalize our relationship with Christ in that way. God should be at the center of everything that we do in our lives, shouldn't He? God wants to spend time with us in close fellowship with Him on a daily basis. I mean, I can live with my wife in my house, and I can have common goals, I can have mutual interests, but that doesn't mean I'm experienced oneness or intimacy with my wife. And God says that it is not enough for us to attend church or to have mutual religious beliefs. He wants us to enjoy spiritual intimacy with Him on a regular basis. He wants our fellowship with Him to be open and clear. And we're kidding ourselves if we're doing something different. God knows everything. So we got to acknowledge His presence in our lives. And we got to abide with Him in joy. God desires to be one with us. In fact, 1 John 1:3 says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these sayings write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The Christian living for the world has no joy. The man living for the devil has no joy. They're looking to the world to soothe themselves through other things. But we can walk in joy every day. Why? Because we know we have eternity with God. Amen? We can abide with Him. And He invites us to. Every decision. He invites us to abide with Him constantly. To include Him in every decision. To call on Him for every need. In every circumstance. God desires to walk with you all day long. All day. Constantly transforming you. Constantly renewing you. Constantly shaping you. Constantly working in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But He still leaves the choice up to you. He won't force you to spend time with Him. Not at all. Would you stand with me? We'll read together John 15, verse 4. Would you read that out loud with me? Ready to begin. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. It's a prerequisite. No fruit. No spiritual renewal, no walking with God, no accomplishing what God has for you. He says you can't do it if you're not abiding in Him.